On the Fix podcast, you've heard from inspiring leaders, innovators, and celebrities who've all taken concrete steps to build a more gender-equal world. We've had guests on the show such as actress Zoe Saldana.
Media companies, networks, studios, and publishers' executive ranks are still predominantly white and male. And additionally, the news media force overall has a significant underrepresentation of Latinos.
As well as actor, director, and CEO of Wayfair Entertainment, Justin Baldoni.
There are so many women that have been waiting for men to stand up and be their allies, to use the male platform of privilege to be a voice for so many things, but really for the plight of women. We have to first acknowledge that we are part of the problem.
As well as Iceland's Prime Minister, Katrin Jakobsdottir.
Hopefully, you know, bigger countries can learn something from our experiences, because what has been done is that we have the equal pay standard, which should be really easily applicable to much bigger societies than in Iceland. It's not only a matter about building a better society, but it has also, for Iceland, proven to be very good for the economy.
So to celebrate International Women's Day on March 8th, we wanted to do something a bit special. This is actually going to be a first for us on the show, so I really hope you all enjoy today's episode. I'm your host, Michelle King, and you are listening to The Fix. It's a podcast that shares the stories of women and men who are innovating and taking action to advance equality in the workplace and beyond. On today's episode, we're doing something a bit different. A few weeks ago, I was chatting with Bea Cornacchia, MasterCard Senior Vice President, Marketing and Communications, Middle East and Africa. Bea has been working at MasterCard for 28 years, and across the region, she's been the creative force behind the company's brand strategy in 69 markets. During our conversation around inclusion and diversity at MasterCard, Bea wanted to learn more about my career in gender equality. So I thought it would be great to share this conversation with all of you. In this episode, you'll hear about my journey and some of the challenges I've experienced as a researcher and advocate for gender equality. Towards the end of the podcast, I'll also be sharing what each of us can do to put equality into practice at work. I guess the whole journey around gender equality for me started, I've always had a passion in this area, but it really started about 7 years ago, just before I had both my children. I had spent many years in organizations in a variety of roles, but most of it focused on leadership development, women's development, diversity, inclusion, advising leaders, some very senior leaders on, you know, their people management strategies. And I started to notice through either my own experience or witnessing it in my friends or other women leaders that, you know, this idea that workplaces are a meritocracy was not actually the case. And one of the interesting things about inequality in workplaces is that it does take time. So you actually do need time to get familiar with it. You need to experience it to truly understand it. And so I had enough of what I call inequality moments throughout my career. You know, some of them were pretty eye-opening, particularly working in the role that I did, to realize that we really needed to change our approach. So, you know, I would be delivering diversity and inclusion training sessions or unconscious bias training sessions to rooms where the leadership team, I think in one case, there were 8 out of the 12 leadership team members had the same name. They were all Dave. And I remember that moment so clearly, you know, delivering this unconscious bias training, thinking this is a room full of, you know, 8 male leaders out of 12 who all have the same name, let alone like gender, you know, and there's one woman on that team. And so for me, that never sat well. And then I finally got to a point where I kind of had enough once I'd had kids and just started researching this issue like a crazy person. So would read any single thing I could find on it. I would attend any, you know, academic conference or anything I could. I signed up to a PhD and then just started working in this area because for me, I really wanted to be the person that could solve it or at least help in solving it, which I know is a really bold claim, but that is something that I wanted to do. So that's kind of where the fire, I guess, comes from.
And this is amazing. And it's always nice to have a woman with a bold objective. And you use a word which really resonates to me, which is change. I think is an important word. So on this line, what is your ultimate goal? So what are you trying to achieve?
So initially when I set it out, it was very much to try and solve the issue for women. In researching it and working in this area and almost giving myself what I call like a gender education, I've come to appreciate that actually this issue is bigger than simply gender, right? This is fundamentally about equality in organizations. Mm-hmm. And so my goals have shifted. For me, it's now about how to put equality into practice in organizations. How can an employee sitting at their desk understand how inequality shows up in their workplace and what they can do to kind of help overcome that? And I think that's how we really mainstream the issue of gender inequality and help people understand how to put equality into practice in their workplace. So that's now my whole mission, and that's all based on my research and work as an advocate in this area.
I just want to ask, if I may, a personal question, because you are one that can really make the difference. So I'm really curious, and I think all of us are curious really to understand the challenges that you have faced personal in trying to research, advocate, and write about these issues. What is your personal experience on that?
You know, I'm always a bit ashamed to admit this, but when I started out on my journey, I very much bought into the fix the woman school of thought. So I, like most women I know, you know, had read Lean In and was supportive of that message and was inspired to lean in myself. And I just wanted to understand what I could do to fix myself, right? And it was about advancing me and my own interests, right? That's what I wanted to do. It was ultimately what drove a lot of the initial work. And then over time, as I've had my gender education through research and through the work and through really understanding this issue and taking the time to educate myself, I've come to realize that a lot of that message is really advancing the interests predominantly of white middle-class women. And so for me, the aim is very much in my work to appreciate and understand the different experiences of people who have different identities, so to understand the challenges women of color face, to understand the challenges that people with different, you know, sexual orientations face in workplaces, or people with different levels of ability, and how that actually shows up for them. And so I've had to sort of experience that myself and go through that process. And I think the reason I speak openly about this is because I actually think it's so important for everybody to recognize that this is an ongoing journey, just like it is in workplaces. You know, we're never going to achieve this magical equal workplace. It's because inequality is a process, right? It happens in real life. And so we continually have to take steps towards, you know, improving our behaviors to make sure people feel included, to make sure people feel seen, to make sure people feel understood, and to make sure that our workplaces do support everybody to succeed.
We know that the UN has these sustainable development goals, and there is the goal number 5. It's an extremely important one. So in this regard, how will it take to achieve the goal number 5?
Yeah, so goal number 5 for people, listeners who may be not aware. So the UN set an agenda for 2030 in terms of what good looks like, right?
Yeah.
And they've got these sustainable development goals, and goal number 5 is gender equality. Mm-hmm. And the global goals, or these sustainable development goals, really set the agenda for what we all should focus on in terms of achieving equality, sustainability, and it covers a range of different areas. But for me, to achieve goal number 5, I used to think it involved a real focus on workplaces and a lot of effort from women. But now I've kind of shifted based on my research, and it very much requires individuals understanding how inequality shows up and understanding what they can do at an individual level to overcome some of the inequality that different individuals experience. So for example, you know, in my research, one of the things that I've really unpacked was that men are not always aware of the different barriers that women face in advancement. You know, a lot of the men in the research that I did for my PhD could only name motherhood, for example, as one of the challenges. During our conversation, Bea asked me what I thought some of the biggest barriers are to advancing women in organizations. In the world of gender inequality, a lot of the solutions that are put forward tend to focus on fixing women. These initiatives tend to include anything that tries to change women or help them adapt and fit into a world of work that really only supports white, middle-class, heterosexual, able-bodied men. In this workplace, the types of people that succeed are generally those who can best fit that mold. And this is why Fix the Woman solutions don't work, because they do nothing to change the underlying systems and cultures that enable inequality. These systems and cultures are really just how people experience work. If organizations are going to start anywhere in unpacking these issues, they have to start in terms of educating employees on the different experiences of inequality. And this will look different for every workplace, because not everyone experiences inequality in the same way. It's only by doing this that organizations can really begin to understand the inequality they're trying to tackle. And tackling this is really important, because a recent Accenture study showed that when you create cultures of equality, women are 4 times more likely to rise to senior leadership positions, and men are also twice as likely to rise to these senior levels. But more importantly, sexual harassment declines, and there's also a noticeable improvement in productivity, innovation, creativity, and employees are just happier and more satisfied with their jobs. And so for me, creating cultures of equality are really about creating workplaces where employees feel safe and valued and like their identities are seen. This is what equality looks like at work. Apart from the barriers that women face, Bea and I also talked about the future of work and the underrepresentation of women in STEM.
Where do you see women adding value in the future, in the technology industry, in the engineering industry, in the science industry, which right now, unfortunately, we are not properly represented?
So in my role at UN Women, I head up our innovation and technology initiative with private sector organizations. We've got this coalition of 30 of us that work together on this issue, and we've got a bunch of programs we've launched and are currently growing in the space. So this is a real passion of mine, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. But I think, you know, the more I look at the issue and look at the future world of work and look at what's required, the thing that strikes me is that both in terms of organizations and individuals, we need to sort of support both to be flexible. So we need cognitive, behavioral, and emotional flexibility, right, in the future world of work, for companies to be innovative, to be creative, to support employees to come up with new ideas and problem solve in different ways. You know, we have to create environments that allow for that flexibility to think differently, to behave differently, to feel differently. Those are really, really important elements. And when you look at the way, you know, workplaces are set up today, it doesn't always enable that. And partly that's because there tends to be a focus, similarly from a gender and equality perspective, on structural things. So do we have a flexible work policy? Do we have, you know, the right kind of structural things in place to enable people to work flexibly or to innovate? But the reality is it happens in the day-to-day, right? It happens in, does your boss actually support you working from home? Or does your boss actually support you to be yourself and share ideas? And so we need to create environments that really support that and enable that. And I think the reason it's so important is because, and I always say this, there's this tendency to believe that great minds think alike. But the reality is, in all the innovations, great minds don't think alike, right? And so you have to find a way to support employees not to think in the same way. One of the topics Bea asked me about was how businesses can prepare for the future world of work, especially from an equality perspective. I think we have to create cultures where both women and men feel valued and where the organization harnesses all of their creative talents. Recently, I did some research with a professional services firm where I surveyed over 400 employees. In the survey, I listed over 20 leadership attributes and asked employees to pick the top 5 attributes that they think leaders will need in the future world of work. Both men and women picked attributes that you might expect, like knowing how to be creative, innovative, supportive, and even collaborative. And a bit later on in the survey, I asked participants, what are the 5 attributes you think women have today? And what are the 5 attributes you think men have today? Surprisingly, women had 4 out of the 5 attributes needed in the future world of work. Men only had 1. This survey was completed by both men and women. The message is not that you don't need men. It's just that the attributes we tend to associate with masculine forms of leadership today will be needed to a lesser extent in the future world of work. And so we need environments that enable women on a day-to-day basis to be themselves and lead in a way that they know they're comfortable with. Not every woman is going to lead in the same way or conform to gender roles. We also need to create environments where men feel more comfortable to use different leadership styles, because the days of command and control leadership have gone. Thank you. I really want to take a moment to thank Bea and MasterCard for helping us put this special episode together. One of the reasons I really wanted to chat with MasterCard is because of the work they're doing to empower women.
We talk a lot about workforce. This is another important objective that MasterCard has, ensuring gender equality in our workforce and in the boardroom. I'm very happy to share that 25% of our company's board of directors are female.
Bea says that while this isn't enough, the company is working really hard to reach gender parity in senior management.
In addition, we are really creating a global female leadership development program to identify our next generation of leadership talent. We are on an extensive women leadership network, and this is a regional network and a global network.
Apart from applying their technology to empower women entrepreneurs, MasterCard also continues to make an impact through its education program, Girls for Tech, which aims to bring STEM education opportunities to 200,000 girls by 2020. It's always fantastic to see the work that organizations are doing to support the next generation of women leaders. That's it for this week's episode. We'll be going back to our regular format next week, and you'll hear again from inspiring innovators, celebrities, and business leaders on how they're building a more gender-equal world. Thanks for tuning in, and I hope you all have an incredible week.
This show is produced by Human Group Media, an award-winning social good podcast company. Human Group Media works with thought leaders, brands, and organizations to inspire social change through the power of audio storytelling.